Welcome back to the Tipsy Ghost. We're your tipsy hosts, Sarah, Sarah, and Lindsay.
Hey, guys.
Hey.
What? Why are you giggling already?
Because when we were doing our 3 seconds of silence, I could hear the Grinch playing downstairs.
Oh, is that what that was?
I thought it was you breathing.
Breathing like the Grinch?
It was like really I didn't know they were watching the Grinch downstairs.
That is funny.
I just got my tonsils done. I need my sinuses done, too.
That's kind of what my dog sounds like all the time when he breathes. Like,
your dog's a bug. That's why.
Yes, he is. He snores so and grunts funny. Constantly. He is know. Funny. Well, what's new? What's new with you guys? Yo.
I almost made you have a white claw moment.
Came through my nose.
So this is coming out, in the future, obviously, but this is election week right now for us.
Yes, it is. It's Thursday.
It's Thursday. We don't know who the president day. Is.
Again.
So we've been dealing
Groundhog Day.
With 2 or 3 days of anxiety.
Yeah. Yeah, we have.
It's been a rough day. When we all got together, we kind of had our little, like, vent fest, and I said, today's the first day I haven't cried.
Congratulations.
That's where we're at.
Cheers.
So we're all drinking.
We needed a moment to have a drink and have a few laughs, so
yes.
Thank God for this.
So that's what we're going to do. We're going to focus on, murder. Oh, God. Try to have some
Lindsay's laughs trying to out. Kill me, I think, today.
Hold on, your shirt is slipping.
Okay. Listen.
Get that part out, obviously.
Okay, let me tell you the situation. It's close to 8,000 degrees in this room where we're recording, so...
Mike wouldn't let me turn the AC on, but then whenever I started stripping, I figured it was time to turn the AC on.
No, we closed the windows because you can hear too much background noise.
That too.
I'm not completely stripped, okay? Just...
She's wearing a bra.
Yeah. And I made this makeshift tube top with my shirt.
We were both wearing hoodies, and so I took my hoodie off. I'm wearing a tank top.
I'm trying to bring back the 90s.
I'm not wearing anything under my sweatshirt.
Wait, that's not what I said. That's not what I said. I'm wearing a bra.
You're wearing a bra. Okay, a shirt.
Yeah. Okay.
There you go.
Here we go. Oh my
what
gosh.
Flavor is that? Is that a new... Have we
had I haven't had it
before. I
love
the name.
What flavor is that
It's called Boozy.
Boozy.
It is premium vodka soda, and this is my least favorite
Is that
flavor.
A grapefruit?
It's grapefruit.
Why are you drinking grapefruit?
Because that's the only one I could find. I tried to find some wine.
Wine
something
cloth. Different.
No, listen. Okay. The liquor store I went to was totally janky, and I could only find... Boozies, which I'd never heard of before.
I've never heard of them either.
I couldn't even find, like, White Claw Truly's, nothing. Oh. It was a...
What?
And I felt like an idiot standing there for, like, I don't know, 5 to 10 minutes trying to decide. So I just went with it. And this is the only flavor I could find. So it is what it is. Listen, I have anxiety in a liquor store by myself.
I don't think I ever want to touch a grapefruit White Claw ever again in my life. Because when we all got very intoxicated off White Claw a couple weeks ago, none of us like the grapefruits. Mm-hmm. And so Boydston didn't want us to ruin the... And not drink them. So she made us all, like, down the grapefruits, and so we just kept throwing them back, and they were not good.
I can't. They did drink the White Claw
well.
Again. I
nope.
can't do it.
Nope, that's why I went with the vodka.
I'm drinking a White Claw right now.
Oh my God, cheers.
This is the last of the bottle that I've drank this evening.
From the Squirrel Cage show?
Nope, it's a wine from Herman, and then now I have a canned wine to come next.
Strawberry...
It's St. James wine. Strawberry.
Ooh.
I don't know what that means. But... Where's St. James from? Is that a Missouri wine?
So everything.
It is. It's from St. James, Missouri, for anybody who
was
still listening.
This was your background music for your commercial. You're trying to sell your strawberry wine.
You're welcome.
It's from St. James, Missouri.
I don't know where that is.
I don't know where that is either.
It's in Missouri.
Is it in St. James, Missouri?
I think so.
Oh, okay. Sounds right.
Jury's still out.
Is that the state that's next to Kansas?
Yeah, which side of Kansas?
The right.
I like that you had to think about
east.
It.
East.
Okay. We're just going to have to go with full exposure here.
I mean, hang on. If you're laying down on the ground in Kansas and your head's facing towards Canada, then it's technically the left.
Okay, Canada, I'm thinking of looking at a map. Right, it's to the right. Okay, Canada is over us. I saw that meme where it was like, you will be assigned a Canadian support friend. I need one.
Can I have an Australian support friend?
No, it's Canada because there are neighbors to the north.
I know, but Canada's really like, could you guys just get it together?
We've got a lot of Americans that need support friends.
Did you see my meme?
And I would like an Australian
Star
one.
Wars, where it's like, Canada's like, everything okay down there? Yeah, we're good. We're fine. You okay?
They don't want to get too close. They just yell through the vents. You guys okay down there? Just like no, throwing really snacks not. At our face.
The whole world is watching us right now.
And I quite enjoyed what Sarah posted.
Oh gosh, we've been sharing so many memes and TikToks to cope.
I try to be like, what am I trying to say? Candidate neutral. I don't mind.
Switzerland?
Yeah, in that sense. But it's more just about the election in general. And
just not knowing. Stress.
Yeah.
Just not knowing.
So Canada is that person who has a neighbor down underneath them with a meth lab.
Yeah. that's what I responded that they're just yelling through the vents. That's what I did there. Yeah, I don't get too close. You guys all right down there? Hmm. Looks like a giant dumpster fire.
Welcome to 2020. Did we expect anything differently?
No, you're right. You're right.
That was the
you're
rest right. of the bottle. Here we go.
Here we go.
Lindsay, what are we doing tonight?
We're talking about true crime.
Damn it, I missed it.
Yes, I was going to sing it, and I saw Sarah take a... She took a big breath like she was going to sing, and then I started laughing.
I'm just really proud of myself for remembering.
She joke. Was. She was, like, waiting for me.
So true.
And that is why you are the bottom note, my friend.
I think I was the top note on that
you
one.
You were. So we are talking all things murder tonight. Like I said, we're trying to bring our spirits up, and I guess we picked murder to
bring
do that.
Bring our spirits up with spirits.
Okay. I was, that was cute. And she's like, no.
Thank you.
It was cute.
Okay, let's spin the wheel, see who's gonna go first to talk about some murder.
And you know what? I just thought of you. What? Keep, go ahead. Okay, go spin. Go.
Oh, I didn't have the sound on, but it's spinning.
Oh, and it's me.
Okay. Yay, Lindsay.
It's me.
I'll be happy for you this week because you deserve it.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah. Good job. I think you deserve to go first.
Thank you. That was so nice of you. Are you making your shirt to a halter? She's tying the sleeves around her neck now.
But my sweatshirt's a little short to begin with, so it's like a crop top halter.
Lindsay, what are you talking about? I can't wait.
I am talking about Christopher Wilder, who is the beauty queen killer.
Oh.
I did a serial killer.
Okay. I had a feeling that you did, because whenever we were talking about location, she's like, it's all over the place. Yeah. Serial killer.
Serial killer, yes. Makes sense. I was going to do an unsolved case, and I realized I have done a lot of unsolved cases lately, so this is for you guys. This is cut and dry.
Thank you. I don't think I could handle an unsolved case.
Not today.
And I started doing the deep dive. I am going to do it eventually, because it is a really good case I want to talk about, but I was like, they're going to get mad at me. So, Christopher Bernard Wilder was born March 13th, 1945 in Sydney, Australia.
Oh my gosh!
Down under.
She was really looking out for you today.
I know. He is the son of an American naval officer, but his mother is Australian. So he nearly died at birth and also almost drowned at the age of 2 in a pool.
Yikes.
On January 4th, 1963, he participated in a gang rape of a 13-year-old girl.
Okay. Get out of here.
I mean, guys, it goes downhill real quick.
Okay.
All right. But his mom's Australian. I was really hoping.
He's
the
bad.
That's all I had going for him.
Spoiler alert, he's the bad guy in this story.
Got it.
Okay.
With two other guys, but both of those guys later denied being involved in the actual assault. So he was only sentenced to probation and some mandatory counseling.
Interesting.
Which, you know, he was underage, but still.
Yeah.
Probation. Don't like that. He claims that he received electroconvulsive shock therapy, but this has never been known if, like, he actually did or not. It's, like, all per his words. So he ended up getting married in 1968, but his wife left him after 1 week of marriage.
Oh.
That was a really bad honeymoon.
Yeah, very short.
That was like 1 week.
Is that a record?
You didn't have doubts before that week?
Kim Kardashian was divorced in 3 days.
Well, in his day,
it was a record. Yeah, I think it was like 72 hours, right?
Yeah, no, I thought it was 72 days.
Maybe 72
here
days.
We go. She's going to Google it.
She starts telling people at work when they ask questions. She's like, don't ask something. She's going to Google it.
Okay,
like,
what about Britney Spears? Wasn't she only married for like a week?
Kim Kardashian.
Don't worry. Lindsay will Google it.
flipping you off right now. Okay. I don't want to know about Kim and Kanye.
It was Chris.
I know who it was.
I just need you to know.
Also, guys, I hate to be a downer, but it looks like Kanye's probably going to lose this election.
God damn it. And there were 3,000 votes for him in 72 Arkansas.
Days. I was right. Oh, 72 okay. days.
All right. 72 stuck in my head.
Okay. Anyways.
Days, hours, whatever.
A week is very short. So she claimed that he sexually abused her and tried to kill her.
Never good.
And she also found another woman's underwear and pornographic photos in his car.
Okie dokie.
Again, well, you didn't have these red flags before the wedding. Yeah, not my place.
That's not great.
So at this point, after the divorce, he moves to the U.S. in 1969 to Boynton Beach, Florida.
Not 1968, but the year after.
We went to the moon.
No.
Look at that. Two stories in a row.
No.
I didn't even plan that. He got involved in real estate and photography and started making lots of money.
Oh, I bet he was involved in photography.
I knew where that was going. Are you okay?
Yes. She okay. can read my mind.
Okay. The photography plays into this.
Yes, I'm sure it does.
From 1971 to 1975, he faced various charges related to sexual misconduct, eventually raping a young woman that he had lured into his truck on the pretense of photographing her for modeling.
Dude.
This gives me, like, Rodney Alcala vibes.
Uh-huh. And I even was like, dude, that's the oldest trick in the book. Like, if a guy comes up to you and he's like, hey, let me take your photo. You look like you'd be a good model. No.
And then I'm going to murder you.
But I'd be like,
no.
What angle do I look at that?
Only up angles?
I'm sorry.
Yes, you can.
Only if you can tell me my best angle.
Yes, I'll go to your truck with you.
Okay, I'd never do that.
Sarah would have been killed in the 70s when serial killers were rampant.
Oh, she totally would.
Dude, yes. Yeah. Yes, I would.
She would have been.
I wouldn't have left my house.
That's very true.
She'd be peering out the shades.
That's kind of what I do now.
I was like, you knocked on the door. I don't know what I'd be doing. What would I be doing in the 70s?
You'd probably just be living your life.
Be a housewife. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. With would a nice house dress?
With probably.
Pearls?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
You have had fresh Pearl cookies necklace. Made.
I do love to vacuum.
I actually like to vacuum.
I've got a robot for that.
Okay. I don't know how we got down that aisle.
It's on my Christmas wish list.
Okay. A vacuum?
A robot. DJ Roomba. Parks and Rec.
Oh, does he play music too?
They have Bluetooth ones, but I was seriously like, what? Like, you can play Spotify on? I think you can, though.
If you watch Parks and Rec, he calls his vacuum DJ Roomba and it goes around playing music.
That's the best idea ever.
I was staring at you for so long. Like,
that's my favorite show.
So ours doesn't play music, but I think I might put like a speaker on him. And
absolutely.
Like a Bluetooth speaker. Mm-hmm. Just put on random. Okay.
Yeah. All right.
Just tape it on.
So he had all of these charges and several convictions, but was never jailed. He just kept getting probation. This is going great.
It's probably not going to end up great.
So 1982, he goes back to Australia to see his parents for a little vacay, and he gets charged there with sexual offenses against two 15-year-old girls whom he forced to pose nude for his photography. His parents posted his bail, and he was allowed to go back to Florida while waiting trial. And I was like, what? Since when? Like, are we allowed to leave
the state?
Not only the state, the country, the continent. Like, he was being charged with kidnapping and sexual assault of two 15-year-old girls in Australia. And they're like, it's okay, you can go back to Florida while we're waiting. It makes no sense to me, but... No,
I can't even rationalize that. Extradition's pretty expensive, so I've heard.
Yeah. So, whatever. And it took 2 years for his court case to even... the initial hearing date to even come out. So for 2 years, he was just, like, back in Florida. So here's what happened during those 2 years. Are you ready? It gets worse.
I can't imagine it gets better. So.
In early 1984, he began a bloody six-week cross-country murder spree, leaving 8 known females dead. 6 weeks. This is how his 6 weeks goes. Ready? Starts in February.
Okay, I'm ready.
February 26th, Rosario Gonzalez. She was last seen at the Miami Grand Prix, where she worked as a spokesmodel. So he also was into racing. He had a Porsche, and so he was there as well racing. March 5th, his former girlfriend, Miss Florida finalist Elizabeth Kenyon, went missing. So they had dated, but they were broken up currently. He had even proposed to her, and she said no, which is probably why they broke up, but... You know, she was last seen at a gas station near Miami with him, and her car was found 6 days later abandoned at the Miami airport. Neither her or Rosario were ever found.
Oh.
Now's where things get heated up. March 18th. 21-year-old Teresa Ferguson was led by Wilder away from Merritt Square Mall in Merritt Island, Florida. He murdered her, dumped her body at Canaveral Groves, where it was found on March 23rd, and she was beaten so badly that she was identified by dental records. Aww. 2 days later, March 20th, and you'll find, like, this guy takes no breaks. March 20th, 19-year-old Linda Grover, a student at Florida State University. She was abducted from another mall, the Governor Square Mall in Tallahassee, and he kidnapped her, assaulted her in the mall parking lot, tied her hands up, wrapped her in a blanket, and threw her in the trunk of his car, where he transported her to Bainbridge, Georgia, after she declined his offer to photograph her for a modeling agency.
Oh my God, he's so aggressive.
So she was taken to a motel in Georgia. Yeah, he is. This is my least favorite case. She was taken to a motel in Georgia where he raped her. Mm-hmm. He blinded her with a blow dryer and super glue.
What?
And I put in my notes, I don't want to know more, so I'm not researching this anymore. I don't want to know how he did it with a blow dryer and super glue, but let's just say he blinded her.
Okay. Well, he put the super glue in her eyes and then put the hair dryer on it. Yeah, it's the only way.
Nope, stop.
Makes sense to me. Also, terrible.
Yeah, that's terrible.
Terrible.
But this... okay, so next, he applied copper wire to her feet and passed an electrical current through her entire body several times. Each time she tried to escape, he would beat her. She did end up making it to the bathroom while he was asleep, and she locked herself in the bathroom. And since they were in a motel room, she started pounding on the walls and screaming, trying to, like, wake other people up and let them know what was going on.
Yeah.
And he got terrified and fled in the car, taking all of her belongings with him. So she did survive. Okay. She was rescued and survived and identified him.
How traumatic, though, for the rest of her life. Poor thing. Yeah.
So, smart girl. She's in a motel. She starts screaming and making noises, and people came to the rescue.
There you go.
March 21st, Terry Walden. She's a 23-year-old wife, mother, and nursing student at Lamar University in Beaumont, Texas. She was approached by Wilder about posing as a model. She was like, no, no thanks,
there's
I'm good.
There's a theme there.
So she told him no. He left her alone. March 23rd, 2 days later, they ran into each other again. And he again asked her about posing. She said no, and this time he kidnapped her. He ended up stabbing her to death 43 times in the breast.
Lord. In the breast?
43 times.
He's giving me major, like, Bob Berdella vibes, too.
It's like a mixture of Bob Berdella and Rodney Alcala.
Yeah. He's got some rage.
Some serious
Some overkill.
Problems. Yeah.
He dumped her body in a canal where it was found 3 days later on March 26th, and then he took her car and fled. March 25th, so like a lot of these he's killing when they still haven't found the last body, because he's dumping them where they don't find them for a few days.
Yeah.
March 25th, Suzanne Logan, 21 years old, she was abducted from Penn Square Mall in Oklahoma City. He took her 180 miles north to Newton, Kansas, and checked her into a hotel there right off I-35. After breakfast, he drove to Milford Reservoir near Junction City, Kansas, and stabbed her to death and dumped her body under a tree.
Aww.
March 29th, Cheryl Bonaventura, 18 years old. She was seen with Wilder at a diner in Silverton, Colorado, and they told staff there that they were heading to Vegas. March 30th, the next day, they were seen at the Four Corners Monument, and Wilder checked into a motel in Page, Arizona. He then shot and stabbed Cheryl to death. Around March 31st, the next day, near the Kanab River in Utah, and her body was not found till May 3rd.
Aw.
Yeah.
Seriously, though. It's like overkill.
Like, he's, like, literally killing people just pretty much nonstop.
Yeah.
So, now we are going to April. So, April 1st, 17-year-old Michelle Korfman, she is an aspiring model. She disappeared from a 17 magazine cover model competition at the Meadows Mall in Las Vegas. So, this is telling me to stay away from malls in the 70s.
Newsflash, Lindsay. Don't go back to the 70s.
Don't go to malls.
In malls.
Her body was not found until May 11th near a Southern California roadside rest stop, and she was not identified until mid-June via dental x-rays. So I'm going to show you guys this picture. He was at this competition basically, like, staking out who he was going to kidnap next. Ugh. And somebody was just taking pictures of, like, it was like a parent taking a picture and caught him in the background just staring at these girls.
Ew.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and he creepy.
Also kind of Bundy vibes, too.
Mm-hmm. He was not a bad looking guy.
Quite a beard.
Yeah, but, like, didn't he lure a couple of his victims to the back of his car trying to do that? Yeah, yeah.
April 4th, 16-year-old Tina Maria Rizzico. Yep. Sounds right. Yep, thanks. She was abducted near Torrance, California after posing for him as a model. And Wilder drove to El Centro where he then assaulted her. He thought, hey, she could help me lure other victims. So he kept her alive and took her with him. So at this point, he is on the FBI's 10 most wanted fugitives list. April 10th, Donette Wilt abducted with Tina's help at the South Lake Mall in Merrillville, Indiana. And I put help in quotations because, like, she wasn't really helping, but she was, like, fearing for her life and had no choice.
Got it.
Sure.
Make that known. Wilder raped Donette several times as Tina drove them to New York. He made his way from Florida all the way to California, and now he's going all the way back.
Jeez.
He's just driving. Near Penyan, New York, Wilder took Donette into the woods and attempted to suffocate her before stabbing her twice and leaving her. So this is interesting. Stabbed her twice, whereas he stabbed the other woman like 40-something times.
Yeah, way too many.
So she tied a pair of jeans around herself and flagged down a truck driver and survived.
Job, Donette.
Yep. She survived. She had surgery. And after she came out of surgery, she told police that Wilder is who did it and that he was headed for Canada.
Ooh. Mm-hmm. Not Canada.
We're sorry, Canada.
Gosh. Sorry, Canada. I mean, really, let's... Well, if I say let's really put this on Australia, then Boyce is going to get mad at me.
No. They did nothing.
Yeah. Beth Dodge, 33 years old. She was abducted from Eastview Mall in Victor, New York. So Wilder forced her into his car and had Tina follow him in Beth's car. After a short drive, he then shot Beth and dumped her body in a gravel pit. And then they drove to Logan Airport in Boston, and he bought Tina a ticket to go back home to L.A. So he let her go.
Whoa. Yeah. She was special to him.
For some reason. And they even said, like, to this day, they have no idea why he let her go.
Wow.
But he did. The other two people who survived, it was not because he let them go. Like, right. They escaped.
Yeah.
Wilder then headed north and attempted to abduct another woman at gunpoint in Beverly, Massachusetts, but was unsuccessful. So now we're at April 13th. Wilder stops at a gas station in Colebrook, New Hampshire. He was asking another person for directions to Canada when two state troopers noticed him in New Hampshire. So they approached him, and he starts heading back to his car because that's where he has his gun. One of the troopers grabbed him from behind. And in the scuffle, two shots were fired. The first bullet hit Wilder through his chest and exited through his back and into the trooper who was holding on to him from behind.
Oh.
Yeah. The second shot hit Wilder in the chest. And at that point, another trooper was there. So there were three of them. And then the chief of police was also there. So there was four cops.
Oh, jeez.
Wilder ended up dying of his wounds. Yeah. The trooper, who was also shot, ended up making a full recovery and returning to active duty.
Wow. Thank goodness.
Yes. In his possessions in the car, they found a copy of the book The Collector by John Fowles.
Man, Burnella loved The Collector, too.
Yeah, that's a little sociopath.
I guess so.
Isn't
it a movie, too?
Yeah, it's a movie, too.
Maybe
so
you should watch it.
It's about a man who keeps a woman in his cellar against her will until she dies in his possession.
Yes.
So Wilder was cremated in Florida, leaving a personal estate worth more than $7 million.
That's a lot of money.
How did he have all that money?
Remember, he was into real estate, made a ton of money.
Oh, yeah. He had a Porsche.
That's the sign of success.
It's a success, just money. June 1986, a court-appointed arbitrator ruled that after taxes, the balance would be divided among the families of his victims.
Okay. Well,
not good.
Yeah.
The something good that came out of that.
Something good, yeah.
So he had 8 victims, 6 were murdered, or 9 victims technically because of Tina. I forgot about Tina.
Yeah.
6 were murdered, and there is a list of possible victims as well for him.
I'm sure.
So, remember how I said that he was allowed to go to Florida while he was waiting his trial date back in Australia?
Right.
Guess when they sent the trial date? April, right after he was killed.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. He died. Yeah.
So he was like, I'm going to go. He literally just started killing people, knowing that he was probably going to go to jail. So possible victims, 15-year-old Colleen Orsburn. She went missing in Daytona Beach, Florida on March 15th. They connected this to Wilder because he was staying at a motel in Daytona Beach on that date, but there's no evidence to be found to connect them. It's just a weird coincidence. Her body was discovered partially buried near a lake in Orange County, Florida, but she was not formally identified until 2011. A lot of these bodies weren't identified until recently, which is really sad.
Well, this was probably before DNA testing.
The ones that were identified were through dental x-rays, and if they didn't have that,
you know.
Australia has an unsolved case called the Wanda Beach murders that took place near Sydney. Marianne Schmidt and Christine Sherrock. This was on January 11th, 1965. And this is because witnesses, he looks very similar to a suspect sketch that witnesses had at the time. Mary Opitz, a 17-year-old that disappeared in Fort Myers, Florida on January 16th, 1981. Another girl who resembled Mary Opitz, Mary Hare, disappeared on February 11th that year from the same parking lot. Both cases are unsolved. Hare was found stabbed in the back in June 1981, but Mary Hare was never found. Uh-huh. And again, a lot of them, they're like, these are his type. Like, he picked pretty women who were models or aspiring models, and they were young. That's how he lured them.
Sounds like a real douchebag.
Yeah, he is. 1979, there was an unidentified woman who was found in a field in Caledonia, New York, shot in the back of the head and died of blunt force trauma. She was a Jane Doe until 2015, when she was identified as 16-year-old Tammy Alexander, who disappeared from Brooksville, Florida in 1979. She was wearing an auto sports jacket when discovered, and this is like... race car drivers, they purchase a lot of auto sports products. So they were like, she disappeared from Florida around his time. She was his type, and she's connected to the racing world. A bullet was also found in the dirt near her that was used in the gun, like the one Wilder attempted to use upon his capture. 1982, two unidentified women were unearthed near property owned by him in Florida. One victim had been dead for 1 to 3 years with all of her fingers cut off.
Oh.
So it took a while for them to identify her. But in 2013, they did identify her as Tina Marie Baby, who is not the same Tina Marie that he let go.
Okay, yeah.
Different one.
Okay.
Very odd. But maybe that's, this is what I'm thinking. Maybe that's a connection. He had a soft spot for her and he found another Tina Marie.
You never know. You never know what they're
thinking. What's going through his mind, yeah.
Exactly.
And that's the hard part about this. Like, a lot of it is unanswered questions because he died so suddenly when he was captured. They didn't get answers to a lot of their questions. Sherry Lynn Ball was a 30-year-old aspiring model who went missing on June 27th, 1983 from Boca Raton, Florida. Her body was found in Shelby, New York. So again, they're like, he went all the way up to New York from Florida. How would her body get up there? Why they connected it to him. She was not identified until 2014, and still no cause of death has been determined in her case. And her body was found 38 miles from where he had dumped another victim. Nancy K. Brown was 25 and disappeared while vacationing in Cocoa Beach, Florida on June 6, 1983. Her remains were discovered in a place that he had dumped another body as well. Tammy Lynn Leppert was 18 and last seen on July 6, 1983, in, again, Cocoa Beach, Florida, while in a heated argument with a male companion. Her family filed a $1 million lawsuit against Wilder because they believed that he was involved, but dropped it after his death. Tammy was also a model, and her mom was a modeling agent. And then there is a Broward County Jane Doe. She has still never been identified, and she was found floating in a canal on February 18th, 1984, in Davie, Florida, strangled to death, which was also one of his MOs. So.
That's a lot of people.
I think it's a lot of people.
Broward County.
Broward. What did I say, Broward?
Broward.
Nah, I don't know. Listen, y'all, you guys know I can't talk, and also, I can't pronounce.
That's a terrible story.
It is. He killed... a lot of women. I'm sorry.
I'm laughing because this boozy hits a little different than the white gloves. And I'm sitting there listening. I can feel like my eyes getting wider. Like, what's happening? Is there like CBD in here? I don't think so. No, we're good. We're good.
You guys wanted closure.
Thought about the wrong thing.
I'm giving you a serial killer with closure. So there you go.
Thank you for that.
Good news is he dead and cannot hurt anybody ever again.
Wow.
Bad news is the system failed him because he raped several women before he started killing and never got punished.
He would have been an interesting one for them to do some profiling on. Because he sounds, like we mentioned a couple times, he sounds a lot like some of the other prolific serial killers.
And he was smart. He was on the FBI's 10 most wanted list the whole time he's driving all across the country. He was smart. He evaded capture until he was in a random gas station in New Hampshire.
Yeah. Turns out they kind of usually are, which is annoying.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Wow. Well, thanks for that, Downer.
You are welcome. It's going to be a Downer night.
That was great. Thanks.
You are welcome.
That was great.
You guys are just so nice to me about my stories. I do unsolved, and you're like, oh, I hate this so much.
True, though.
That was excellent. I'm just going to spin the wheel now. Oh, Sarah, it's your turn.
It's my turn. Yay! It's probably a good thing. When I'm wearing those, I'm going to be like, wow.
Read my screen. What's happening?
All right. I am going to tell you guys a story about this person.
Okay. I can't wait to hear about this person.
Got it.
Did Period. He do something?
He did. Yeah. And that's it. Okay. So
he hurt some people?
Yeah, he did. He's okay. A real jerk.
I like that you have pain all the way down your leg.
Listen, at the point, I spilled a tester paint and it exploded all over my floor. The lid broke. Oh, yeah, it was a big disaster. It went all over me.
I mean, I know it's on your hands and arms. That I expect. I
well, just that like is the primer. But yeah, this was the tester paint and it went everywhere. Yeah, all over everywhere.
I'm sorry.
Bummer.
Okay, sorry.
Okay, anyhow, I'm going to talk to you guys about a person named Pazuzu Algarad.
Oh, Pazuzu.
His name is Pazuzu.
That's an exciting name. That is name. A fun name, but I bet he's not a fun person.
He's really not. And also, that name is not that fun once you find out what it means.
Well, uh-oh. I know what it means now.
Oh, okay. I remember. Know what it means.
Wait, don't say it.
From Ghost Adventures, but I won't say it.
Don't say it.
Okay. You did a paranormal true crime?
No.
No.
Oh.
They just talk about this particular thing.
Is it the name of a demon?
Can you just wait?
Isn't that annoying?
Lindsay, like give me one of those damn boozies.
I like to know the things.
I don't want to crack another one.
Remember how I said that I won an award for most curious?
Yeah.
It's because I like to know things. Okay. Are you okay?
Yeah, those just don't taste very good.
Then why? Do you want me to go get you another drink? I will drink that.
They all taste bad, honestly. I think
I'm
traumatized.
Do you want like a lime White Claw Garnet. Instead?
Mm-hmm. No. Mm-mm. Okay. No, I don't think I'll ever want White Claw again.
Whew, girl.
Yeah. Here, try.
I don't think it's that bad. Okay.
I don't like grapefruit either, but the vodka is... Ugh, did you just like stick it terrible. In your nose?
You don't sniff vodka. It's not wine.
I feel like it went literally. It, like, did it make contact?
Oh, God. It's terrible. It's terrible.
That's why I make that face.
I don't want to swallow it.
Swallow it.
That's what she said.
I don't want to do it.
Or, yeah.
Do it.
Swallow.
Now you know why every time I take a sip, I'm like,
you guys, it's not that bad.
It's not,
that
but it's
is
just
awful.
I'm looking up to see if they have other flavors.
They have to. The vodka is strong in it, though. I will say it's killing me a little bit. Okay. Well, you're looking that up. So I'm going to talk to you about Pazuzu Algarad. His real name, though, was John Alexander Lawson. But to keep things simple, he changed his name to Pazuzu pretty early on. So I'm going to call him Pazuzu the whole time.
Even though it's a challenge. They have a cranberry and a lime.
Either of those have got to be better than
a
grapefruit.
I think cranberry would be good. Because cranberry saying, vodkas are like my faves.
Well, Lindsay,
love a good cranberry vodka.
Let's go to Bubbles. See if they have some cranberry boozies.
I mean, I like the fact that it's monk fruit, and I like all that. I just really don't like grapefruit.
I don't know why you're torturing yourself right now. We have other alcohol here. I saw some red, white, berry.
I don't think I... That's
yeah,
too sweet.
A seltzer. It's a seltzer. It's zero, zero everything.
Okay, I'll be fine. All right, I'm talking about Pazuzu.
Pazuzu, yes.
Can I tell you, it's kind of hard to say that name with a straight face.
Yes.
A little bit.
I'm already kind of giggling, but I feel like it's an evil name.
It kind of is, so. Okay. All right. Like I said, his real name was John Alexander Lawson. So, again, we're talking about Pazuzu Algarad and the Clemens House of Horrors.
Horrors.
There's some hoes in this house.
There's some horrors in this house.
It is the House of Horrors. It's awful. So, like I mentioned, to make things a little less confusing, I'm just going to call him Pazuzu. So, he was born August 12th, 1978 in San Francisco, California. And at an early age, he moved to North Carolina. And eventually, he and his mother settled into a small town right there in the Bible Belt called Clemens. Do you know where Clemens is?
I do.
I don't. Tell us. Do you know where it is?
Clemens, North Carolina, right? Is that what you're talking about? Yes. Okay. Yeah.
It's in North Carolina.
Got it. It is, cool. Thanks for the clarification.
It's a suburb of Winston-Salem, which is like a bigger town. I grew up close to Raleigh, which is the capital. Okay. And Winston-Salem is probably like 45 minutes, maybe an hour west.
So it's just a smaller suburb of Winston-Salem, which is also a suburb?
No, Winston-Salem's not a suburb.
Oh, okay.
It is a suburb of Winston-Salem, yes.
Okay.
Is that why you learn to say jail sales?
Jail sale?
It's kind of like Center North Carolina. Okay, listen. She made fun of me because in the episode when we're saying
squirrel cage, jail sale.
C-E-L-L-S. I pronounce it as sales. And I was trying to voice to text the two of them about the jail sales, and I said it, and my phone put S-A-L-E-S, and I was like, damn it, phone!
It's because you sound like that in the episode, though, too, when you were talking the jail sales.
And that's all I heard when I listened to the episode, because you said that.
I text them, and I was like, I'm editing Squirrel Cage Jail, and all I can hear is Lindsay saying jail sales.
It's because jail. Sale.
I was going to say, it's my brain is it was because making they the just connection. Sound
like you said. My brain was just, yeah. Like if I say cells, prison cells. Like I can say it, prison cells.
But jail sale.
But when I say jail sales, I don't know.
Yeah, slow down. Slow down.
My think brain about doesn't it. Slow down.
Okay.
True.
Well, apparently Clemens is in the Bible Belt.
Yes.
Of
suburb of Winston-Salem.
There we go. Thanks for clarifying.
You're welcome.
They moved into a house on Knob Hill. This is going to be important later. Okay.
Knob Hill.
Knob Hill.
Knob Hill. Got it.
They're killing me with these names, though, because they know I have the mentality of a 13-year-old boy. So, like, Knob makes me laugh. Also, Pazuzu, the name makes me laugh. And it's a struggle. So, be warned that I might laugh. All right. So, as a child, Pazuzu was interested in things that were not typical for his age. So he loved scary movies and all things spooky and horror, which I can't blame him for. But apparently they were like,
why is that unusual? I'm taking offense.
I know. I kind of was writing this like, what's the problem? Like, I liked him. But I think he was like really interested in things like The Exorcist and, you know, Friday the 13th, all the big horror scary movies, which, again, I'm not really sure, but that's what they said. Okay. And he was also interested in magic at a very young age, which, again, I'm like, eh. But that kind of plays into other things here later. Mm-hmm. All right. So he would also dress up as a vampire all the time, pretend to be a vampire constantly. So all these things they said were just kind of like atypical for a child that age. He also spent a lot of time alone. His mom was a single mother. She was usually out working or socializing, and he was home alone.
But did he draw pictures of dead people?
Hang on. So as a child, he's possible. Just walking around as a vampire.
Yes, sometimes. Like with the cape and the teeth. And then we'd be like, watch my magic show.
But only
I just
at
watched
night
The Exorcist.
Because the sun burns him.
Right.
Obvi.
He doesn't like garlic toast like I do.
Garlic toast.
Obviously.
Okay, sorry.
Okay. You're right on the nose. When he was 13, he started drinking alcohol daily.
Ooh.
Okay. And started also dabbling into Satanism.
No, that's not common for a 13-year-old, I'd say.
It's not going to
well,
go great.
Actually, I think...
What?
I mean, like, I think that being curious and, like, emo maybe a little in that age is not
dabbling
abnormal.
In Satanism.
But, yeah, I think it gets worse.
There's a difference let me just put between it like being that. Emo and Satanism.
Sacrificing good point, good point. Cat. Don't hate me. Don't come for me, people.
Don't come
it's
for
just
me,
my
emo.
Ignorance.
I was a little emo in junior high.
I was. I liked witches.
Why are we not surprised by this?
I had a book of spells.
I loved the craft.
Seances on Friday nights.
I'm not hating. I'm just trying to relate. Okay?
You're not hating. You're relating.
Why am I the way that I am?
Because you are a witch in your past life.
Damn it.
We just need to get you back to Salem.
That's true. No, you don't want to see the powers that will come out of me.
Oh my goodness. Can you imagine if we went on a ghost hunt in Salem, how she would be?
I don't think we could control it.
It would be a mess.
I just pictured myself in a room like, I can feel the spirits coming through me.
I would just be in a corner with my dowsing rods like, I'm a witch too.
I'm a water witch.
And I'm like, I feel nothing. I see nothing.
You know, on second thought, that's kind of our normal. So,
yes. You know what? Actually, let's go. Let's go to see.
When we can safely travel.
Okay. Can I just side note this before I forget to? My husband keeps
saying.
We're
already on a side note.
Yeah, that's true. My husband keeps saying we need to, like, do a YouTube video or a Twitch stream or something of us playing Phasmophobia. I don't know how I got off of that. Because
what's a Twitch stream?
Okay, let's go back to YouTube.
I know the YouTube, yes. Okay. I'm familiar with them.
Of us playing Phasmophobia, because it would be...
It's like a continuous live YouTube video.
Okay,
yeah.
Like streaming, okay.
Mm-hmm. That's what I said.
Stream, yes.
Okay, I got the stream part of it. I figured it was something.
It's just a platform. Twitches, yeah.
Twitches.
The Twitches.
Twitch witches.
We should
and now
totally
we have a handle.
It. We should
the
totally Twitch do it. Is it just on your laptops?
You have to, like, set up a camera, and you stream yourself playing these games. Anyhow, Guys, let us know. Do you want us to YouTube ourselves playing Phasmophobia?
Side note,
Sarah
never
can't
played.
Play it because she gets...
I get really bad motion sickness.
So I guess the question, do you want to see me play
Phasmophobia? I'll play. I don't know what it is.
Yes, please do.
I know what it is, but you I've never
can.
Played.
You've got a PC. You can do it totally.
And I got a webcam.
Okay.
So you say you needed a camera?
Yeah.
I just wouldn't announce that to everybody. Like, I've got a webcam.
I think most people do on their camera. Yeah, but yeah. You're good. You're good.
Lindsay's going to be a cam girl.
OnlyFans who? I'm sorry. What? Slightly rude. Patreon, check me out.
Cash me outside.
How about that?
Okay, anyhow. We've gone off the rails.
We were never on the rails. Clemens, North Carolina, that's where I'm at.
The Bible Belt.
The Bible Belt. No, also, Satanism at 13.
Yes,
Satanism
yes.
at 13.
Okay. Let me focus here.
Really with the witches.
Shocker.
Hex, yeah.
Okay. Definitely. So we also kind of get into witchcraft, which kind of goes hand in.
Why didn't you lead with that?
God damn it, because I got distracted with Satanism.
Full circle, we're back.
He probably said that too.
Yeah. And he would often tell his classmates that he could control the weather.
Ooh, make it rain.
Make it rain. Okay. Right.
No. That looks really bad for both of us.
I'm really sorry.
I'm really embarrassed for both of you.
For some hand gestures I'm that really should not be repeated. We're too old.
Mom, please stop.
Sorry. I'm cool, I promise.
I'm not like a regular mom.
I'm like a cool mom.
No, I actually am pretty much like a regular mom. It's fine. Okay, so this probably didn't go over great with the kids at school because, as I mentioned, they're in the Bible Belt. And most of them were very religious. This is completely opposite of what they were raised to know.
Sure.
So people think, though, that probably fed into his darker energy and it kind of just added fuel to the fire, if you will. So as we often say with kids, bad attention is still attention and it makes it grow. And as you can probably imagine, he didn't really have many friends when he was younger and would often get into trouble in school. He dropped out of school during his freshman year. He claimed that this was largely due to the fact that he had a huge fear of being around other people. And this would later be diagnosed as agoraphobia.
Oh, Boyd's done.
I was going to say, this is hitting a little close to home. He's afraid of other people.
He dressed like a vampire.
He
likes
witches?
Scary movies.
He's agoraphobic. Two out of three.
Okay.
I've never dressed... Well, no, I don't think I've ever dressed like a vampire.
Oh, man.
However, okay. The other two, yeah.
Okay, and, you know, likely he was drinking as often as he was and as much as he was to deal with the anxieties that he had.
Right,
for
and
social situations.
Being alone all the time and having no...
Also me, so, okay.
Boyston, this is about you. Just saying.
Boyston, did you start drinking at 13?
No.
I'm kidding.
No, I didn't. However, that's how I deal with, that's a coping strategy I
have
today.
Honestly, I think it's a lot of people, especially right now. You're not alone. It's okay. So, this, though, I don't think is like you. Correct me if I'm wrong, but he tortured animals.
Okay.
Absolutely not.
Yeah, I didn't
think so. Do
you know
her? She can't even stand if I put tortured animals in my
stories. So, rest easy that you do not compare to Pazuzu. Mm-hmm. So, his mom took him in for psych treatment when he was 13, and he was diagnosed with schizophrenia and manic depression in addition to his agoraphobia. Hmm. So, this is some pretty heavy-hitting mental health diagnoses.
Yep.
The help that he needed was expensive, and his mother was unable to provide these resources for him, being that she was a single mom. He didn't get the help that he needed, and naturally his mental health kind of just tanked after all that. Mm-hmm. So in 2002, he legally changed his name to Pazuzu Isla Algarad.
Was he 18 by that point?
He was legal.
Oh, okay.
Lindsay.
Just saying, okay.
He was emancipated.
Last we left the story off, he was 13. I'm just wondering what's happening.
So he was born in 78. This was in 2002.
Okay, so yes. Gotcha.
He was. Yeah.
He's legal.
I sped you through.
I got that.
Okay, I tried to get us through.
We sped up a lot. Okay, I'm there.
Listen, there's a lot of content there, so I'm trying to...
I'm here. Got it.
All right, and on the forum, he said it was for religious reasons, but didn't name a specific religion.
Satanism.
Probably. He didn't say which one, though. So, just for further clarification, Pazuzu is a Mesopotamian demonic god known as King of the Demons and Demon of the Underworld. He had an instinct to destroy and the ability to control the weather.
Ah. Ding, ding, ding. That's why he could control the weather, too.
In the movie The Exorcist, Reagan, the little girl, the main character, she's possessed by a demon named Pazuzu.
Oh, is this how you know of Pazuzu? From Ghost Adventures?
Yes.
Okay.
After he changed his name, he also created a new identity for himself. He said that his mother was a Satanist and his father was a high priest. So, lying about a lot of things. These were not true. He also claimed that he was a Muslim at times, which who knows what he was. But he just had all these claims about himself. He decided to cover his face completely in tattoos, most of them with demonic symbols.
Oh, okay.
And he had a giant tattoo with the word Satan on his forearm. And he also filed his teeth into points. Apparently, he did this when he was high on meth.
I think that'd be really painful.
That's what I just wrote. I was like, what the fuck? Ouch. You'd have to be high enough to fucking file your teeth to a point. I can't even get like a cavity filled. And if they even get close to a nerve, I'm like, oh, hell no, stop. I need... just
more.
Put me out. Just give me some gas.
Give me the gas.
So, I don't know.
I don't like that. Okay. Moving along.
So, he would wear a turban often, and people think this was likely to invoke fear and get a reaction out of people since this was near 9/11-ish. Mm. Which, at the time, that was a fear.
There was a problem, yeah.
Yeah. He was in and out of rehab for a few years, and there he told his doctor that he did not bathe more than once a year.
Ew.
And didn't brush his teeth for years.
So maybe he didn't need to file his teeth because they'd all fall out.
Well, that's true. Maybe they were soft.
Maybe he was filing plaque.
Yeah. He knew. He looked in the mirror and he was like, these are just no good. I'm gonna fucking file them down to him.
He's gonna lose them. Vampire teeth. Get some vampire dentures.
Full set of vampire teeth. he claimed that personal hygiene, quote, stripped the body of its defenses, warding off infection and illness, unquote. Okay. Pretty sure that's the opposite of science, but that's okay.
I'm scared to say that doesn't sound right, but...
believe what you want.
What do we know?
For a time, he followed the Church of Satan, but it wasn't violent enough for him, and in fact, way later on, they, like, totally denounced anything to do with him. They were like, no, he's... way different than what we even claim. So he created his own religion called the Sumerian religion.
Okay. Ooh.
He claimed that it was based off the ancient Mesopotamian people.
Yep. I was going to say, I know Sumerian. Like, I don't know the language, but...
I'm cool. I know these things. I'm relevant.
I just know about it because of demons.
Nice. I didn't know. So it included a dark moon sacrifice, which was a monthly animal sacrifice. Listen, I don't include way too many details on it.
No, that was a thinking sigh, and I was thinking, what's the dark moon? But it's just the anti-full moon.
Okay.
Oh, I didn't know that. Okay.
That's what my presumption is. I
Yeah, that would
like
make sense.
Like on the nights where there's no moon.
It's dark.
Yeah.
Took me a minute.
Look at us. So smart.
I'm like, what would that be? Oh, yeah, it's dark.
It's the dark moon.
It's the opposite of a full moon, yes.
So he really thought, though, by doing these rituals and sacrifices that he himself could become a demon if he continued on.
I mean, I would agree. You are a demon if you sacrifice animals.
Definitely, probably not a good person. That's for sure.
Does it say what kind of animals?
Lindsay. It does, but I'll tell you in a minute. Okay.
The hell's your problem?
She likes demons.
I'm gonna have a story centered around eyeballs.
You've already done that. You made her do one.
You made me do it.
No, eyeball killer. I suggested and you said, yes, that's a great idea.
You guys are both dead to me.
How did I get lumped into that? I was just scrolling down my page. All right. So anyhow, the Knob Hill House, remember, that's where they lived. He lived with his mother.
Got it.
This place became a gathering place for people who had similar thoughts and feelings as Pazuzu. It's kind of sounding a little culty.
So I was going to say, so he's like leading people.
They didn't ever say that, but he had definitely a group of people with like-minded thinking.
Followers, putting in quotation marks.
So the word got out that there was this place with no rules. All sorts of people showed up, and like I mentioned, they were very similar to him. So the things that they would do there, they would drink alcohol, do drugs, have orgies.
Yep. I was going to say, sounds fun. Nope. Kaylin's. Count me out on the drugs and the orgies. I just want a drink.
Mind you, this is in his mom's house. Ew, his mom lived in this house.
Mom needs to get some boundaries there.
She's a cool mom.
Hey. She's trying too hard to be a cool mom.
How's the orgy going downstairs?
You anybody need any condoms?
Any lube? No? You guys good?
Okay.
God love ya.
Okay, anyhow, where was I? Orgies. Orgies in the mom's house.
Where were we?
Orgies in mom's orgies house.
There's some orgies in the mom's house.
Okay, mom.
Close. Mom, you're embarrassing me again.
You broke her.
You win this time.
Who breaks Lindsay?
I'm okay. I'm good. My cheeks hurt.
Same, but isn't this nice?
It's so much better than where we started. Truth.
Okay, continue. Right. Orgies.
Okay, anyhow. Okay, also, it's not going to get better.
We got to get past the orgies.
I can't.
It's really hard.
Inside the house.
That's what she said. That was a spike.
Yeah, I knew when I was typing this, it was just going to go downhill.
It's like, you know when you're reading the story, you're like, this is going to be a good commentary.
I did. I knew.
You us.
Well, I'm like giggling as I'm writing something. All right, so like I said, it doesn't get much better from there, from the orgy situation. Mm-hmm. Inside the house, they would just go to the bathroom wherever they pleased.
Ew, that's gross.
We're talking
that's just pee, poop. Terrible.
There's animals pooping, peeing, eating everything, walking around.
What is with this mom? Mom, come on.
She apparently was okay with everything as long as nobody went in her room.
Her rooms are probably immaculate.
She's like, nobody come in. Yeah, I could just picture it like beautiful.
I could smell it from there.
So that was mentioned multiple times. Anybody that came over could like literally smell it from like the car. Walking up was just like disgusting. This is putrid.
How do people just poop? And
it was like a place where people would come and stay.
I feel like this was
But he didn't like hygiene, so this is making sense.
Well, they would just fucking mooch there for like a month or two. They would just come and stay. There was heroin addicts. There was like whatever. They're all just hanging out for. They don't have to pay for anything.
Oh, he's not paying for anything. He's not either.
I don't know what is happening, but it is. Can you imagine the BO on this fool?
Mm-mm. I can't imagine the smell in the house. I can't get past that.
Oh, can you imagine what that orgy smelled like?
Ew. Dear God, thank you.
What makes you want to have sex when there's bleach poop in the and nostrils
and BO?
And pointy teeth.
And teeth that he doesn't brush his teeth for years.
Oh my God.
We're making vampire faces at each other.
Stop right there.
Uh-oh.
Have you Thank guys you watched What We Do in the Shadows yet?
No, I haven't.
Please, I beg of you, please, go home tonight, watch one episode.
No. I've been watching The Queen's Gambit.
No. That's what they do. It's like a mockumentary filmed like The Office, mm-hmm. but they are a bunch of vampires that have been living in Staten Island for years. And the humor is very similar to The Office, but anytime they hate people, they go the whole
time. And it's on Prime?
It's on Hulu.
Hulu. Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
But it's on, if it's an FX show. It was based off of a movie. It is. I've been sleeping on this. I don't know. My neighbor told me about it. I was like, I'll check it out. It's gold. You must. So good.
Noted. Once I'm done with The Queen's Gambit, I will do that. Yes. Also, what we highly, do in the shadows. Highly recommend The Queen's Gambit. Anyway, go ahead.
Okay, thanks. I needed that because I've been on so much.
Okay. Tangent.
I wrote, I can literally smell it from here. This place was a shithole, obviously.
Yeah, literally.
And we mentioned animal sacrifices, so they would often sacrifice rabbits and birds and leave their carcasses laying around all over the place.
Dead animal smell.
And then I just said, I have questions, like, how much blood does a bird actually have? And how can you, like, actually suck the blood of a bird? Don't answer this, people.
Wait, they ingested the blood?
Yes, sometimes they would.
I think it might be half a cup.
You can't get that much.
Can't you get really sick from drinking blood from an animal?
I don't think that they care. I mean, they would just like, there's blood all over the walls.
I think that illness was probably their high.
This mom needs to get out.
The mom, I don't even know.
How can she stand alone?
And wouldn't his teeth hurt with people if he's having an orgy with them? Okay.
Definitely no, like, you know.
I have lots of questions, but okay.
Yeah, okay. Just had to throw that out there. So apparently the dishwasher in the house was full of weapons, and Pazuzu would tell others.
The dishwasher.
The dishwasher.
We haven't even gotten to the murder yet, and we're all like, this is disgusting.
The murder. Okay, all right. So the dishwasher was full of weapons, and Pazuzu would tell others that he would kill homeless people and that there was a body in the basement.
Oh,
he would just
murder.
Like, brag about it. That was just like a nonchalant thing, like, oh, yeah.
Oh, there's a They'd dead be like, homeless person in the basement.
Yeah, people would come to his house and be like, your house, like, smells like death. And he'd go, oh, it's just the body in the basement. Like, what?
Did anybody go
just nonchalantly? No, of course not.
I would. I would have been like, BRB.
They're not there to investigate. They're there to get high and have orgies. He also said that he killed 2 sex workers and ate them.
Oh, okay. Cannibalism.
That's what he claims, but cool. We'll never know. Honestly, most of the stories that were, you know, circulating in the town were started by him. So, did they happen? Did they not? We don't know. On the front door, there were satanic messages and pentagrams painted all over the house. And I think you kind of get the picture about the house. So, I'm moving on. Okay, so the group of people that followed him or, you know, hung around him, oftentimes it would include lots of young women. Apparently, he was, like, very charismatic. As leaders often are somehow. But he had 2 women in particular that were around quite a bit, and he called them his fiancés. Oh. Mm. Their names were Amber Birch and Crystal Matlock. On May 28, 2010, he was accused of putting his mother, Cynthia, into a chokehold.
Oh,
at their home. She almost passed out, but he never went to jail because she never pressed charges.
Of course she didn't. She sounds like an enabler throughout 100%. All this. Yeah.
So, flash forward a little bit. That was in May 2010. So in October 2010, the body of Joseph Chandler was found on a boat ramp, which was a spot that Pazuzu was known to perform his rituals.
Okay.
So people just think that Joseph was kind of in the wrong place at the wrong time, and he really had nothing to do with this, but he just was very unlucky and was killed. However, the case was closed fairly quickly when a man named Nicholas Rizzi was convicted for the crime. But Pazuzu was accused of misleading authorities and allowing Nicholas to stay at the house. So he's starting to kind of like get wrapped up.
And,
So he was also charged with accessory after the fact of involuntary manslaughter, and he was given probation.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. In February 2010, so I'm telling you this just to, this Joseph Chandler happened in October 2010, but in February 2010, Joshua Wetzler was reported missing by his girlfriend. She said that she had heard rumors that he was dead and buried on the Knob Hill property. So okay. That same day, they received information that another man named Tommy Welch was also buried on the property. So a search warrant was issued, but they only used cadaver dogs to investigate, so nothing was found.
Especially with all those dead animals and poop.
He only went into the backyard, and apparently the equipment needed to dig up the ground was unavailable, and they didn't want to wait the 2 weeks to use it, so they just used the dogs.
Okay.
And that way they could only basically search the surface, nothing really underneath.
Kind of like doing the bare minimum.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, police think that Joshua Wetzler was killed in the summer of 2009, and Tommy Welch was killed in October of 2009, so a year prior.
Okay.
They think he was there, but they don't know. What police feel now is that Joshua was shot 7 times with a .22 caliber rifle, 3 in the head and 4 in the stomach, and Pazuzu hid the body in the backyard before eventually burying him in the backyard with Amber's help, his fiance.
Mm-hmm. One of them, right?
Yes, one of them. Yeah. Yes, good memory. Thanks, Tommy Fox. Was killed with the same rifle with 1 shot in the back of the head by Amber. Amber pulled the trigger and he was shot while sitting on the couch, and Pazuzu helped her bury him in the backyard.
Okay. Yikes.
So they kind of swapped roles there. So Crystal, the other fiance, was often heard bragging about her involvement in the murders. Come on, Crystal. Get it together.
Come on, Crystal. I mean, he bragged about dead bodies in his basement, so.
So there were often times people coming to the police saying, like, there are people buried in the backyard. You need to go investigate. And nothing really happened. But 5 years later, a man named Matt Flowers, who was friends with Pazuzu at one point, he was the one who finally convinced the police to go back to the Knob Hill the Nob Hill House and look and see what happened. So October 5th, 2014, sheriff's office arrived at the house with a search warrant.
4 years later, right? Because he said 2010.
Yeah. Oh, I said five. But it said five. But it says, but on the timeline, it seems four. Doesn't matter. 2014, the sheriff's office arrived at the house with a search warrant. The backyard was a total disaster, as imagined. Oh, I mean, gosh, it matched the inside of the house. So they, I don't actually know how they found anything wrong because there was so much wrong in the backyard, but apparently they noticed around the fire pit that the ground was slightly disturbed. So they were triggered to go over there and start digging, and they noticed a shallow grave, and two bodies were buried in the shallow grave.
Uh-oh. Shocked. I am shocked.
Just kidding. Do you want to guess who it was? It was Joshua Wetzler and Tommy Welch.
Thought we were guessing. Okay.
You spoiled our guessing.
I didn't want you to feel bad about not remembering the names. Pazuzu and Amber were both arrested and charged. The next day, Crystal was arrested, and on October 13th, they were identified, the bodies, as Joshua Wetzler and Tommy Welch, who had both disappeared in 2009. Their cause of death, as we mentioned, were both due to a gunshot wound.
Mm. So they were telling the truth.
Yep. Shortly after the skeletal remains were found, the county deemed the house unfit for human habitation.
Oh, about time.
And in April 2015, the house was completely demolished, which I'm sure the neighbors were like pulling out the freaking chairs and popcorn.
I'm sure they were so excited, yeah.
Can you imagine if your neighbor was...
No.
That's horrible. On October 28, 2015, Pazuzu Algarod was found dead in a prison cell at Central Prison in Raleigh, North Carolina.
Hmm.
His death was ruled a suicide, and he was found with a deep cut on his left arm. However, they weren't ever able to determine what he used to cut his arm. They also found a...
Probably his teeth.
Jaw. Funny you mentioned that. Some people did say that.
I was thinking, like, what would he have had access to? But I guess people make shanks all the time.
Also, out of their his teeth were shanks.
That's true.
Teeth shanks.
If they were still there.
He was basically a shark. Okay. March 9th, 2017, Amber Birch pleaded guilty to second-degree murder, armed robbery, and accessory after the fact to murder, and she was sentenced to a minimum of 30 years and a max of 39 years. Crystal Matlock pleaded guilty to accessory after the fact to first-degree murder on June 5th, 2017. Okay. All right, Boozy. You're killing me.
Boozy's killing you.
Boozy caught up with
and
you.
Was sentenced to a minimum of 3 years and 2 months with a maximum of 4 years and 10 months in prison. So Basically the two that helped got not a lot. I mean, Amber got 30 years and the other one got, is it though?
I mean.
For killing somebody? Isn't she the one that shot them?
Oh, I thought you said she was the accessory. Okay.
That's what they ended up charging her with, but she was the one that was suspected of killing him. Shooting him in the back of the head with a rifle. Oh, one little fun fact after the fact that we found out. On November 8th, 2011, The mother told police, she went to the police and told them that she had witnessed a murder. First she heard a shot, and then she went to take a look, and she found Amber holding a rifle and saw a dead body. That man was Tommy Welch. But then she refused to let them...
On the property?
On the property.
Oh, Mom.
Mom's got some issues.
I take it back.
Take what?
I didn't see anything.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh. No, no, there happened. Was no dead body. There was no gun. So do we ever know a motive for why they killed these two guys?
No, I never got that part. They said that...
decided to? Or was it like a
one of the guys
sacrifice?
Was like a father, and he was, you know, he was a pretty good guy. He just kind of had some things going wrong for him, and kind of... They don't even really know why he ended up at his house. But it sounds like... These were kind of just random shootings.
I mean, I guess I shouldn't be surprised by that. They're not in their right minds, it sounds like.
No.
To be put it bluntly.
He's got some issues. Mm-hmm. If you want, you can always go look on YouTube. They have videos of walkthroughs of Pazuzu's house before they demolished it.
Oh, I'm going to be looking at that tonight.
I want to show you, just real quick before you move on, a picture of him, and he is...
Is he terrifying? Because he's got face tats, right?
Doesn't
he's got face tats, but, like, Post Malone has face tats.
What's wrong with tate tats?
Tate tats? I want to see his fangs. Does it show pictures of his fangs?
Hold up. Did you say taint tats?
I said taste
tats. I'm trying to move on past the taint tats.
What would you tat on your taint?
Let me see a picture of him. I want to see.
I don't have my taint tatted. I'm sorry.
Okay. TMI with Boyd's tatted.
No, I said I don't have it tatted.
Yeah, but I said, what would you get?
What would I get? I Sylvester the cat.
No.
Isn't that normal? What would you guys get?
I don't know. I've literally never thought of it.
I don't think anybody has thought of it.
I'm sure somebody has.
Somebody has to have a taint. You know what would
be a great place for me to get a tattoo next?
The taint. So there's all three of them.
You can hide them.
Oh, I'm trying to find a picture of his teeth.
Oh, him and his girlfriends? Is that Amber and Crystal?
Yeah. Like, nothing against tattoos or even facial tattoos. Honest to God. Do you. Like, Post Malone has tats on his face.
Yes.
He's not a very scary guy.
He sells Bud Light Seltzer, so.
He sells it?
He likes the OG Olive Garden.
Does he?
Yeah. He took Jimmy Fallon to Olive Garden for the first time. It was so funny.
I love Olive Garden.
I know you do.
With a passion.
Oh, he's got this lovely tattoo of Satan just written on his arm.
I told you that in my story.
Stan.
All right, so real quick before we move on, shout out to the Lights Out podcast because I got a lot of information from them. They did a great job. And they are the ones, I think, who have the YouTube video on their channel. It wasn't them, I don't think, who went through there, but I do think they posted it on there. So if you're interested, go check it out. So thanks, guys.
Yay!
I got you. So this is going to be a short story.
Okay.
My story is about Mike the Durable.
Durable?
Oh, Durable. Okay.
I don't know who this is.
An Irish man and former firefighter named Michael Malloy lived in New York City. He was down on his luck and unemployed and homeless at the time. It's the Great Depression. And really enjoyed a nice stiff drink like all of us do. He'd spend his time frequenting speakeasies and making new friends. Friends is in quotes because, you know.
They weren't really friends.
So-called friends. Some of his friends were just not so friendly.
Oh.
One of the speakeasies that Michael went to was owned by a man named Tony Marino. And after noticing that Michael would drink his weight in alcohol daily and then pass out, Tony, along with four of Michael's other acquaintances, came up with a plan to kill him in order to collect life insurance.
I think I know the story.
Yep,
it's coming back to me.
They had collected insurance policies on Michael's life, and if they were successful in making it look like an accident, they would get $3,500, which today is about $70,000. And they would split it amongst themselves.
Why would they be the ones to get his insurance policy? Like, were they his beneficiaries?
So while he was, like, almost close to passing out, they got him to sign something. They said it was a petition, but it was really the insurance policy.
The insurance. Okay, that makes sense. I was like, how would these random people get his policy? Got it.
Bummer.
So Tony had done this before. He had taken out an insurance policy on a homeless woman, and he then force-fed her alcohol. Stripped her naked once she was, like, passed out, and then doused her mattress in icy water. He left her in the mattress under an open window, and the next day she was dead. And the coroner said that she died of bronchial pneumonia, and Tony collected $2,000.
He did that for $2,000.
But remember, so if $3,500 their time is our $70,000.
During the Depression, he said?
During the Great Depression.
Gotcha.
It's worth a lot.
Their plan was to get him drunk and for him to basically drink himself to death. So he's an Irish man, and he could hold alcohol, but he would drink day in and day out and then pass out.
Mm-hmm.
So they thought, you know, eventually he's just going to die from this. So at Tony's speakeasy, he gave Michael unlimited credit, knowing that he would drink as much as possible. And he did. Michael drank for the entirety of his waking hours, and it didn't kill him. So the men began to take things to the next level by adding things to his drinks. They began slowly, lightly, with antifreeze. But Michael continued on drinking as if nothing was wrong. It didn't even faze him.
Does antifreeze have a taste?
Mm-mm. It's supposed to be bitter, is it not?
I think a lot of people use it, actually, in murders.
Oh. I was like, in their drinks? I don't think so.
No. But because it's, like, you know, fairly undetectable. Yeah. I could be wrong.
I was wondering, like, how he didn't detect it, but okay.
So next they moved on to adding turpentine.
That is.
Lucy.
And then something called horse.
What is turpentine? I don't know.
Isn't that paint thinner?
Mm-hmm. I think. You don't know. You're just nodding.
If I was allowed to have my computer, I could tell you.
I think it's paint thinner.
Okay. Sounds right. I know when you don't know. Mm-hmm.
Sure, yeah.
Yeah, it totally is.
Sounds so right. After that, they moved on to something called horse liniment.
Does not sound good.
That's apparently liquid icy hot.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Minty.
Also,
horse
liniment. You know, I don't know anything about the
1930s. I feel like that would burn going down my throat. Icy hot.
Well, it would initially feel cold, and then it would feel hot.
My brain went somewhere else. We were like, liquid horse. And I was like, ugh.
Liquid horse.
But then we went to icy hot, and I was like,
liquid icy hot.
Okay. Liquid icy hot.
That's
okay.
What it has been compared to.
Still doesn't sound good.
They're just trying to anything.
And
did you hear that bear?
I heard it.
Their throat gets nice and numb.
So the more I drink, the more the accent comes out.
Those things didn't work. And finally, they tried rat poison. And
they're trying this all, like, at different times, right? Like, they're not trying this all in one night.
Yeah, no, they would give them just shots of these things.
Yeah, in one night.
Or mix it in with them drinks, or his drinks. And then he would pass out, and they would kick him out on the street thinking, like, oh, he's going to die tonight. And then he would show up the next day with a smile and, like, hey, guys, I want some drinks.
Okay, but random question. I mean, all of those alone would probably kill you, but, like, tiny doses of each of them?
Well, if you mix it in with, like, a drink or a beer, I don't know. He was a big whiskey drinker.
But what I mean is, like, if you give him just, like, a little bit of rat poison, a little bit of icy hot, antifreeze, it's, like,
I don't know. If I drank any of these things, I think it might have an effect on me.
I would agree. I would be dead.
I would be. We've seen some people who can hold it.
He was one of them.
Yes. He was probably like one of our friends who walks around at 500, 600.
So when they figured out that that's not going to work by drinking things, they gave him oysters soaked in wood alcohol.
Whoa.
A sandwich made with rotten sardines and mixed with poison and carpet tacks.
This just sounds like a really slow and painful, awful death.
Well, he thought it was great and asked for another one. So,
like, that's fucking delicious.
Yum. Give me another.
He probably didn't have any taste buds from all the alcohol.
That's true, too.
Or the antifreeze.
Everything tastes good when you're
drunk. The icy hot numbed his taste buds. So.
Also, wood alcohol is methanol. So, like, even just a small amount can cause blindness. And he was able to just take, like, eventually, once he got, like, super drunk, they would just do just shots of wood alcohol to replace his whiskey shots. So
he's like, ooh, that burns.
It burns so good. So they figured that nothing he was going to ingest was going to kill him. So they came up with another plan, and that was that they were going to freeze him to death. So one very cold night in January, February, after Michael passed out from drinking, they carried him to a park. They dumped him in the snow, and they poured 5 gallons of water on his chest and his face, and they left him for dead. And they were again shocked to see him come back at the speakeasy the next day, only complaining of a chill. He's just a little chilly.
Mm. I bet he was.
Didn't get that hypothermia.
It's really sad.
Apparently not. So plan J was to run him over with a taxi.
Oh, come on now.
They paid off a driver, and he was hit by the car at 45 miles an hour. And then the driver reversed the car and backed over him for good measure.
Oh, that's definitely not an accident. Way to make it look like one.
But again... Whoops.
I hit him twice. Sorry.
He still didn't die. He was injured. He had a fractured skull, broken bones, but he was in the hospital for 3 weeks and recovered. During that time, the guys thought, like, oh, maybe we did get him, because they didn't see him at the speakeasy, so they kept calling around to morgues and to funeral homes, and he wasn't anywhere to be found, so they couldn't claim the money. But then he showed up again at the speakeasy, and they had it. So one night after he had passed out from drinking, the men took him to a room. They put a hose in his mouth that was connected to the gas line.
Ooh.
And they turned it on, and they finally killed Michael Malloy.
God, dang.
He was pronounced dead from pneumonia, likely by a bribed doctor, and he was buried very quickly.
I was going to say, pneumonia? Okay.
Yeah, you gotta bribe somebody for that one.
Like they got a doctor to say it was an accident or something natural. Yeah,
exactly.
Right.
But police would visit the speakeasies, and they were hearing these stories about this man who just escaped death all the time. And then they heard, so this man that everybody called Mike the Durable. And then they figured out that a man recently died named Mike Malloy of suspicious circumstances. And so they grew suspicious and had the body exhumed and examined. And the men were put on trial and convicted. And one guy went to prison while the other four were sentenced to death via the electric chair.
Ooh, wow.
I wonder how they decided which one only got prison.
Good question.
Different juries.
And that is the terrible story of Mike the Durable.
My gosh.
I have heard this story before where they kept trying to kill him and he kept surviving.
He kept living.
He had like 9 lives.
I don't know what happened to me. I feel terrible, but
I'm back. Gonna keep drinking.
Here we go. Just give me some more alcohol. Yeah.
That was lovely.
Oh, Mike.
Mike the Durable.
He was very durable.
He really was. He had an iron stomach.
Yeah. Except for...
And liver. Yeah. Liver. Iron liver.
So anyways, guys, thanks so much for tuning in to our murder episode.
Murder episode. That sounds like we murdered people.
It's our true crime episode. That's where we talk about murder.
Yes.
We didn't murder anybody.
No.
You need to say that with more conviction next time.
Dang it. These boozies.
I told you.
You've given me two.
I told you. They fucking hit different. I don't know. I had two
why
also.
Why do you keep saying, like, we give you things? You're the one that puts them in your mouth and drinks them.
I did too. I don't know. I was surprised at the level of boozy in the boozy.
And the booze and the boozy.
Whoa.
Woo.
Heyo.
Anyways, guys, thanks so much for listening to our true crime episode.
There it is.
You can always send us an email at thetipsyghost@gmail.com. If you have any stories to share with us, we would love to read them. And you can follow us on the social medias at The Tipsy Ghost. We are on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, and I'm forgetting one.
YouTube.
The YouTubes.
Where you can find us doing Phasmophobia soon.
Hey, yeah, let us know if you guys want us to play this ghost hunting game. We'll do it.
We already do it anyways. It's really fun. One of us does.
I haven't done it yet.
I sit and listen.
I'm grouping us all in there.
I will do it.
It's super fun.
It'll be fun.
Please join us on Patreon at patreon.com/thetipsyghost. And we would really appreciate it if you could give us a 5-star rating and a great review on Apple Podcasts.
All right, guys. Thanks so much for tuning into our true crime episode. We will catch you guys next week.
Okay, bye.
Bye.